Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com. Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hello and welcome to The Climax with me, Angelica Malin.
And me, Rebecca Reed.
We are talking about being tied down today.
So we're going to talk about everything from bondage all the way through to commitment. We're talking about being tied down physically and also emotionally.
Isn't that clever? Aren't we clever?
I'm so proud of us. We're geniuses.
We are joined this week by Stevie Martin, who is a journalist, writer, comedian, and Michelle Ellman, who is a body positivity coach and activist.
And author.
And author. All the things. And this episode is kindly sponsored by Love Honey, and we'll be talking about their products in the show. Hello and welcome to The Climax. We are joined by our lovely guests today, Michelle Ellman and Stevie Martin. Hi guys.
Hello.
Michelle, tell us a little bit about yourself.
So I'm a body positive activist, body confidence coach, and I'm an author of my new book, Am I Ugly? And yeah.
Which is available where?
Everywhere. Amazon, Waterstones, WH Smiths. There are signed copies on WH Smiths.
Signed copies.
We like to spend this bit of the podcast plugging people.
I like to encourage people to use a lot of time telling us where they can buy their things.
Well, okay, so thing I can plug.
Plug it all.
Cosmo, editor-in-chief. Just recommended it as the book of the month. Nice. So that's
we like
more
her because she just put Tess Holliday on the cover of Cosmo.
Yeah,
so she did a good job, and she probably sold a lot of copies from doing that as well. So good for her.
Yeah.
Farah, is she Farah?
Farah, yeah,
I like her.
And Stevie Martin, who are you?
Hello, my name's Stevie Martin. I'm not very good at self promo. I'm a writer, and I now have to say I'm a comedian because I now do comedy shows. And I don't have anything to sell other than I'm selling a thing on eBay, if anyone's interested. I haven't written a book yet.
What are you selling on eBay?
I'm currently selling a set of coasters that my boyfriend said were very,
Valuable?
Valuable, as I say, worthwhile.
As worthwhile as a coaster can be.
Yeah.
Do you want to write a book?
I mean, I wouldn't mind. I don't know how it's listening. Is it good? Is it fun writing a book?
It's a roller coaster.
Right, there we go.
I hate saying it's good. Because it's just emotional.
I liked it. It's just sitting in my bed typing.
Sorry, is everyone
writing
a book?
I like Jelly hasn't.
I'm writing one.
Oh, fuck off.
Okay.
But the good thing about books is, unlike journalism,
I don't have an agent though or a deal, so don't worry.
You can make it up as you go along. With journalism, you have to have some facts.
But I liked writing it. But did you like? I did not like the it coming out part.
Mine's not out yet.
The ebook of mine came out on Saturday, but the buy it, guys.
What's the title?
It's called Perfect Liars, and it's a dark women's fiction thriller, and it comes out in paperback in February.
I was going to say, because fiction, you can make it up. But yeah, if you're doing a fact book, absolutely, you've got some of the rules a bit wrong.
Anyway,
cool. So what are we talking about today, Bexy?
Now that we're trying to sell stuff, so we're going to talk about being tied down. We thought this was really clever. I thought this was really clever.
Okay.
We've linked together commitment and bondage in the title, being tied down.
Okay.
So we're going to talk about being committed relationships.
Basically tied down physically and emotionally.
Yeah, exactly. That's the plan.
That's your favourite device. I don't know what it's quite called, but we did that last week as well.
I think it's called ham-fistedly tying two things that don't go together together.
Fantastic. So, first off, relationships.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so should we go around and just tell everybody, say, what kind of relationship they are or are not in?
Okay, so I am in a relationship with a man. I have been in a relationship.
It sounds so much like a lie. He lives in Switzerland, he's not on Facebook.
He's my fake boyfriend. And we've been together 4 years in November, will be 4 years.
parents. Mm-hmm. And I'm Jewish and he's Jewish, which makes our parents happy.
That's
basically the only criteria when you're Jewish.
Oh, he's also Jewish. He's also nice and very tall.
That's a bonus, but honestly, that stuff does not matter. He's Jewish.
My dad's Jewish, and I get it even from my mum, who's not Jewish, being like, just make sure it's a Jewish man.
Yeah.
Really?
I'm like, you're not Jewish.
She's married a Jewish man,
so she just wants everyone else.
She highly recommends the experience of marrying a Jewish man.
Honestly, if you're 21, 22 and not married and you're Jewish, you are on the shelf. Yeah. Like, that's when you start getting the aunties giving you questions.
Chinese is the same. So really? I've got the Chinese side and the Jewish side.
Oh my God.
That's so much pressure.
Are you in a relationship?
No, I am not desperately.
I'm dead.
Inside.
You don't joke. Literally, the last few articles written about me was about that, because section in my book talks about me. Anyway, moving on from that, I'm happily single most of the time, but I've been single for maybe 4 years now.
Okay.
Maybe there's some kind of sort of connection.
Yeah.
Did you take that?
Because one may not live while the other survives.
So I'm basically your worst nightmare, a Jewish family.
One of us is a Horcrux.
I'm married. I've been married for 17... I was about to say 17 months, like it's a toddler. I've been married for a year and a half. Just a year. We got married in July last year. And I've been with my husband for 5 years. And his previous wife was Jewish, and I'm very jealous of that because I always wanted to be Jewish. I met Jenny at JSOC at university because I didn't have any friends. So I started going to religious societies to try and make some friends. And
even though she wasn't Jewish.
And I'm still not. And was adopted by JSOC.
Yeah.
And we
welcomed you into the faith.
Yeah, really. Days. Nobody even asked. And then, so...
I didn't know how it worked.
Yeah.
That's how it happens.
You go to JSOC and then you're Jewish.
And they have free soup.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Right. Well, in my uni now, I get toasties, it. But with Christian sock.
Yeah, see, our Christians at Bristol were not so... Well, they weren't so nice that year.
You were in Bristol. I was in Bristol.
That's so funny.
And you... Well,
you've all written books in Bristol.
I feel like they're real.
Stevie, what's your relationship status?
My relationship stat is that I'm in a relationship with a man. And I've been together.
It sounds like a lie.
It sounds weird. And we've been together for 2 years.
Quite a long time.
Yeah, but
do you live together?
Yes.
How long did you move in after?
So it will have been about a year and a half, which is quicker than I guess. The normal. If I was going to write it down and on paper, like Love Island
style, your type on paper,
my type on paper would. But I just don't think rules apply when you're like, should we live together? Yeah.
I think it's the London rental market, genuinely. Well, because I moved in after 6 months because we were like, do you know what would be really cheap if we both lived in one room?
Yeah.
But it's more the fact that, like, lugging your stuff across London.
Yeah.
Like, that's the
pants in my bag for too long.
And then a toothbrush with bits of hair stuck to it.
Yeah, and it smells like male deodorant constantly.
It's not always
It was rubbish. Yeah, and he lived in Epsom.
Oh, that's quite far.
And I was in Highgate. So you're like, great, I'll just...
I lived in Highgate. Lovely, nice, North London.
Nice.
Do you still live in Highgate?
No.
Oh, you gave up the good life.
I did. But now I live in, like, banker land.
Really?
Yeah.
How is that?
I love it. Because I've only lived in, like, crumbly, run-down periods. You know, you're like, oh, it's okay. The toilet only flushes if you smash the washing machine with a hammer. And now everything works. It's all nice.
Is it warm in winter?
It's warm. It's underfloor heating.
Oh, I can't imagine
I can
that.
Pretend that I'm incredibly more wealthy than I am.
See, I feel like that means you're officially an adult if you have, like, underfloor heating.
Yeah. God, or you just live in
Or you get excited about it.
Yeah. No, I should be, like, blasé about the underfloor heating. Then I'm an adult. Yeah. I'm like, I am an eating it. Boring.
Of course we have double glazing. Why wouldn't we?
Yeah.
So from double glazing to sex, because I feel like we're not delivering what we promised.
No.
We're talking
about
the sex
podcast.
Oh, right. Yes, of
Sorry.
Course.
We're having too much fun. That's all the relationships that we are in. That's sum total.
How many times have we had sex with them? Is that what we're going to tell
when
them
do
now?
You stop keeping the list? Are you guys in the longest relationships that you've been in, or have you been in a longer one?
No, I've been in longer ones. Yeah, I don't know how much... It was actually quite liberating, but also terrifying, because I never talk about myself in relationships and stuff, and I really realised as I was walking here, I was like, oh, hang on, this is a... It's the right old time. Yeah, yeah, but I've been in longer ones, but I think it doesn't matter. The time doesn't matter, I've found. Like, 1.5 years with my current relationship felt way different to 4 years with the other person because it wasn't quite right.
I think also some of it is when you start dating, because I think, like, uni years only count, like, half, really.
Yeah.
Like, school counts, like, for a third. And then once you turn 25, they start to be a full year, I reckon.
Yeah.
But anything before that...
It's not quite real.
Not real.
No.
Like, half real.
Michelle, don't tell my 17-year-old self that.
And I ran down the street barefoot screaming, take me back!
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Oh, you know, I really don't miss that, like, teenage feeling of, like, you know, how you love somebody when you're 17 in a way that you can never love anybody ever again.
That passion.
Yeah, but you know what I like? Uni, when you broke up with someone, you could find someone the next day. That's the thing that I keep going back to. I'm like, oh, I wish I could go back to uni. I'd just find someone the next day.
I mean, I couldn't. I had no friends. I had to join JSOC to find friends. But I think other people
could. There were probably people in JSOC waiting for you.
Yeah. I mean, I had one really, really fatal flaw for JSOC in terms of dating, I think.
Yeah,
but even when I went to, like, terrible clubs in Bristol, I could not get laid in Bristol as a student.
I tried.
Did you ever go to Lizard Lounge?
Yes.
That was
all the time. And Lizard Lounge sounds like the worst place to get laid.
It was, and you wouldn't admit to liking
Spot
it, except
lizards.
I used to admit to liking it.
I love Lizard Lounge, but I honestly couldn't even get sex in Lizard Lounge. And I was quite an attractive 21-year-old.
And it was a brothel.
Yeah. I was giving it to anyone. No one wanted me.
Yeah, you're the married one, and I'm, like, perpetually single one.
It means nothing, those kind of uni years, is it? Like, I've got friends who, same sort of thing, slept around, had the best time ever. I did not at all. And I actually was thinking about it weirdly today, because I was thinking of how one of my biggest regrets is that I didn't go travelling when I was young, because I just never did, and I was just like, work, and now I'm like, oh, I can't be bothered now, and it's a bit late. I will, I'm sure, but it'll be a different type of travelling. It won't be like, you know, full on backpacking. Exactly. I'm not going to catch the thing, and I'll backpacking. But I also thought then it, like, popped into my head, like, the other regret is that I didn't slut it about, and I use that in the most positive sense.
I regret that. So, like, I don't get me wrong, I love my husband, he's fantastic, but I've only slept with 7 people, and that is not that many for your whole life.
Yeah, if you think about it.
But again, that was the same thing I thought about uni. I was like, why did I not have more fun in uni? Because also, like, I don't know, I have a weird thing about safety in London, especially if you meet someone via an app, and I don't like bringing them over when you literally just met.
You're very far away as well.
You knew everyone in uni. Everyone was safe. Like, you could bring anyone.
And you, and you know they'd live with, like, your housemate's friend's girlfriend's cousin or something. Like, you're always,
or they lived with 4 girls, so you were like, oh, it'll be fine, I'll just run into one of them.
I'm so with you.
Really regret, like, taking the academic side of uni seriously. I graduated.
Why you graduated?
I never used my degree.
We were at uni together. We were in the same course. We were the same 12-person course. You didn't take it that seriously.
Okay, I didn't take it that seriously.
You moved to London for a whole term.
That's true. But I do regret taking it seriously at all, because I've never used it. I don't even have a CV. Like,
in my first year, we had a second year in our corridor, and so he told us, like, do not take first year seriously. And I literally passed at, like, 41% at the end of the year. I did not take it seriously the whole 3 years. It was so happy.
I did the same, but then I was the only person in my year to go to too, so I really committed to not doing well.
You really went hard.
Oh, that was happy time.
Back to sex.
Yes, back to sex.
It's so hard, isn't it?
So hard to keep it on sex. Yeah.
What kind of time do you think that the kind of honeymoon period of sex, when it's really good, seems to, like, fade away a little bit in a relationship? You know, when the initial stages are so good.
See, I don't think I've been in a relationship long enough. So I think I'm the, like...
What's your longest ever?
8 months, and it was long distance. So you know how you were saying that, like, 8 months could mean 8 months differently in different relationships?
Yeah.
My 8 months was... We probably saw each other 10 times in those 8 months.
Okay.
So, like, that's the longest and most serious relationship I have been in. So, yeah, no, I don't think I've ever got out of that, like...
Phase, being really excited, excellent sex then with everyone, and then they're like,
wow,
more great
and
sex.
Then you just remember that one night you spent together, like, over and over again. It's really healthy.
But I felt there's, like, a window in the middle, because the first couple of times you have sex are probably fine, but, like, you know, you're still getting to realise where everything is roughly. it's not It's not sometimes on their back.
Yeah.
But you know, roughly where it is. And then, so it takes a few times to kind of get good at it. And then I think you probably get like 6 months of it being like, wow.
But it depends, because if I know it's going to be one time.
To make it special, not to do it full stop.
Then it's just an effort.
It's just
if I know it's going to be one time, I'm way more demanding. So I like make it good, because I'm like, this is just going to be one time. I'm going to literally like demand what I want.
Like
right
quite an empowering one that stands.
Yeah. People really like that as well.
Well, they'll do it. They just do it begrudgingly.
In a consenting in slightly resentful way.
No, when I want it, I'm like, it should be reciprocal. If it's going to be one night, like, no, all sex should be reciprocal. Like, if I do something for you, I want something back.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or it needs to offer. I have a weird thing about, I never like people I didn't know really, really well going down on me. So, but I always wanted them to offer. I don't want
to
do it.
Then you can say no.
I don't want to go to the party.
Just like, you don't want the job, but you've got to say, and then you go, no thanks.
I don't want to work for you, thank you very much.
Absolutely. Etiquette affects his vagina.
No, honestly, I think it's just being a nice person, isn't it?
Yeah.
That should extend to the bedroom, but it often doesn't, does it? I mean, I sound like a 70-year-old woman.
No, but it's true.
To the bedroom. But it should, and it often doesn't. And I think there's that kind of last year when all of that was coming out about, like, the Aziz Ansari thing, and it was like, hang on, is this just bad sex? Are women just getting consistent bad sex?
Yeah.
And like, what good sex is for a man is like incredible sex, and what good sex is for a woman is like, oh, I didn't hurt, and like, it was all right,
I didn't cry, you didn't steal anything from me.
Yeah.
So you know how you were saying you don't talk about your personal life? I talk about my personal life all the time online, and because I'm single, like, all my followers know my most embarrassing dating stories and like the worst things people have said to me in a bedroom and like all kinds of things like that. I just divulge it all.
Do you ever worry that if you meet somebody romantically, they look at Twitter and they know everything already?
So the funniest thing was I met a guy on Bumble, and like a month later I was still dating him, and Bumble contacted me, not about anything about Bumble, but about Bumble Biz, their new thing.
Mm.
And I never ended up working with them. But the guy I was dating was like, you can't talk about me. You can't talk about me anywhere. I know you've done videos about sex before. Like, you can't.
Oh, my God.
I was like, really?
Actually, I used to get that when I was dating, and I started writing, and people would be like, actually, no, you see, when I used to go to fetish clubs, and people would say, what do you do? Because you're having an awkward drink with, like, a man wearing just a latex thong. And he'd be like, what do you do? And I'd be like, I'm a writer. I'd be like, don't write about me. And it's like, I promise you, Steve, I'm not going to. You are the least interesting thing here, and nobody cares.
I've got nothing to say.
People think that their sex lives are very, and then we're doing a podcast about our sex lives, so perhaps we're the problem.
Yeah.
But no, people do think they're really interesting, and they're not always.
But the thing is, I don't actually promise that anymore, because in my book I've spoke about all the guys I had sex with up
until,
like,
21. But you didn't, like, name them, do you?
No, I changed their names.
Yeah, fine.
Like, but it's detailed enough. Like,
my first ex-boyfriend, who is 36 years older than me, so I was 18, he was in his late 50s, hated me talking about him, and still hates me talking about him, and took me out for lunch when I was first working for Telegraph and said, you can't write about me. And I said, babe, if you're going to date an 18-year-old, you don't know what they're going to be when they grow up.
Mm.
It might be journalism, and you can't control that. If you're worried about it, don't date children.
Also,
I love that.
Don't be a horrible person, and there's less to write about.
Yeah, it's like Taylor Swift said, God, I'm so basic. If boys don't want you to write songs about being mean, they shouldn't be mean.
Oh, God, are we actually quoting Taylor?
She's so wise.
Look what you made me do.
Yeah, look what
you
made me do.
About you.
Although I'm pretty sure that one was about Kanye West.
That was
So many of my sex stories.
Stevie, when do you think the sex gets a little bit less, like, hot and exciting in a relationship?
I mean, it's difficult, isn't it? Because I do feel like it's, again, dependent on the two people, and also how often you see each other, and how, like, I've got a friend who's in a long-distance relationship for a long time, like, 5 years. I mean, they are still going out. And so they didn't see each other, every sort of 10 weeks they'd see each other, because he was in Australia and she was over here. And so then obviously it was explosive for years. What's going on? And also, like, if you're seeing each other constantly, I think in university it's a bit different, isn't it? Because I've got friends as well who've had, like, girlfriends for like the whole 4 years, and you see each other every day, and you're, like, constantly
it's cold, and you're constantly wearing, like, in the winter trackies and hoodies.
Yeah, you look
and
like
vests,
shit. Yeah.
And greasy hair. Like, it's not a sexy time.
It's not your kind of best look. So then I think it kind of can go downhill pretty quickly. But, like, I think in kind of a... I don't know, because what is normal? Like, what is a normal... amount of I'm still having a nice time.
I think it's what feels right to you, like what feels good, and it can be less. And I think that's like I've realized along the course of a relationship is like it can be less and better. It's not, you know.
No, we definitely have sex less often.
Yeah, because I think a lot of people feel like with all this sex writing phenomenon that we're all contributing to, I've written about it as well.
All the time.
I think people can feel like they're boring or they're we should be like hanging off a chandelier and it's 6 years in and you're like maybe you don't have to and I think it kind of can make you overthink a little bit
like I had a friend who was like I think I'm really weird I just don't like butt plugs.
Some people don't want things in their arms. Have you read a lot of Girl on the Net?
She was on the first podcast episode.
Great. Yeah. Well, I mean, she to me is a real enigma. And when I used to work at the Debrief, may it rest in peace, was the main sort of sex writer. And I'd commission her and stuff. And all of my male friends, that's what they read. Like, they'd be like, who is this girl? Like, oh my God. Like, because it's so great to hear a woman talking so freely about stuff that I wouldn't even think of. Yeah. You're like, wow, okay, that's a thing. Great. Yeah. But then at the same time, it does make you automatically compare yourself and go like, well, I've never used a double-ended dildo. So I guess that's, you know.
She's amazing. She is such an enigma, though. I mean, there was I read one of her posts the other day, which was that she tried to wank for an hour, and she just...
Ouch!
And she was just documenting it, and it's so funny. But, it's her willingness to kind of explore and write about it. So.
But I think, she would totally say she is one end of the spectrum, and there's a further end of the spectrum, which is you do genuinely want, like, a nice massage and some white silk pyjamas and some candles.
Of course.
And that's okay. Like, my sister, I hope she doesn't mind me saying this, said to me the other day, she was like, I just really want some quite romantic sex. Like, that's like a kink now. Yeah. So I just want something
straight. Yeah, like that vanilla sex. Like, that's a niche.
Sometimes Marcus and I do... Oh, I'll have to beep it. Sometimes my husband and I do, like, vanilla sex roleplay. And we're like, this is so filthy. Like, you're telling me you love me. And it's weird. But that's become a thing now.
That's gone the other way. Have either of you ever cheated or been cheated on in a relationship?
No. I've been cheated on. And I think that it did change a lot of how I saw relationships, I think. I think it's that, it's the sex thing. Because you're just like, how did you let it get that far in?
There are so many moments when you can stop this.
I think that's the kind of thing. When that happened, I was very much like, I just couldn't understand.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you can say you're sorry as many times as you like, but... I mean, you literally went in, like, and then you kept going. Like, how did at no point did you go, oh, actually, hang on,
I could probably forgive like kissing. I always have this scenario where I say kissing someone in a club, like my 40-year-old husband's going to be in a club. But
sure.
If for some reason if he sort of just kissed somebody and then was like, fuck, what am I doing? Stop. I wouldn't be pleased. But
it would require some discussion.
Yeah, and probably some significant jewellery, but I could get past it.
Yeah.
But the idea of like, and then they kissed some more, and then they had some more drinks, and then they got on a taxi
and then they decided which house to go to.
Yes.
And they like, and you're like, hang on, and the more you think about it, the more you realize what a massive deal it is.
Yeah.
And how, yeah, but I mean, it does feel like 90% of songs and art and film, doesn't it? Like TV shows and everything is like, whenever there's like a couple and anything, it's like, right, well, one of them's gonna cheat on the other one. Everyone's obsessed with it. But it was a real thing. And then I think that has really changed how I felt. I mean, I don't think I could never do, I just I would feel so.
Yeah, I feel like it just feels so intrinsically wrong, but then.
Yeah, but it happens.
I once dated two guys at the same time and I couldn't get past the third date because I felt so guilty about it. And yeah, I was like, I'm not even doing anything wrong.
Yeah.
But like, I just felt guilty.
Yeah. It's quite stressful, I'd imagine, because I've got a friend who did that once and she was kind of like, she just kept asking us, like, Is this bad? Is this, and I'm like, no, it's absolutely. He's like, oh, the admin. What if one of them runs into the other? What if we had to go to all
also the worst was Valentine's Day, because I was like, what do I do on Valentine's Day? So I persuaded one who was the long distance one, let's do it the day after.
Yeah,
and
nice.
So he was texting. He really like needed me whilst I was about to go on the date with the other one. It just like really stressed me out. And then the day after, I was like, I can't do this anymore.
I was in like a 4.5 year long polyamorous relationship, from 18 through 22, and I just couldn't get my head around the idea of dating other people. And I would occasionally sort of start things with nice, appropriate boys who were not a thousand years older than me. And I get sort of 3 dates in, I'm like, nope, can't do it, I haven't got the attention span.
Yeah.
And break up a perfectly good relationship.
But also you have to remember what you told which person.
Yeah.
That was the other thing.
Yeah.
That was
way too much life stress.
Yeah, life is stressful.
I don't have that much time either.
There's also something super weird about having sex with two people in 24 hours. I thought it was very,
oh, so that was the other thing. I kept moving the line. So I said, I can't kiss both of them. Like, I just have to choose one to kiss. And then I kissed both of them. And then I was like, no, wait, so I can only sleep with one. And that was the point where I was like, no, I can't sleep with both. Because, like, yeah. I just...
At least there's a line.
Yeah.
I think also that you invite this very direct comparison when you sleep with two people in 24 hours. Like, but you can really see the difference in how different men do things.
It made me raise my standard. Like, if I could mentally do it, I would 100% do it, because it made me go, like, no, that's not acceptable behaviour. Whereas, yeah. like, because I generally had low standards, especially in uni, and let, like, guys walk all over me. Mm. It made me suddenly have high standards and be like, well, I have option number two.
So on that topic, what do you guys think, apart from, obviously, let's take it from the basis that everything's consensual, what's like, what are the not okay / unforgivable bedroom things? Like, one of my friends was dating a guy who wanted to wear a baby grow. She just couldn't.
Well, I mean, like, but that's such a specific thing. Mm-hmm. Like, how amazing would it be if she was like, yeah, I'm into it as well.
Oh my god, that's my dream.
Wow. But like, one thing that I have, like, I think every woman I've ever spoken to about sex has had someone just try and put it up their ass.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Without asking.
Yeah.
That is unforgivable.
Yeah.
You can't just do that.
Also, sometimes objects, not even penis.
Oh,
I know a lot of people have gone for it.
What kind of objects?
Anything relatively small with a blunted edge.
It's close to the bed.
Yeah, close to the bed.
The lamp!
But also sometimes, like, sex toys. I know people who've, like, been doing it doggy style and have felt a butt plug go in and been like, I'm sorry, what the fuck? And also, you know that's not a butt plug that was bought specially for you. No. That's his generic butt plug.
That's disgusting.
That's actually horrible.
Really not good.
Yeah, I just find that not cool.
You definitely had to ask before bum
thing. I think for me, anything that's remotely non-consensual, I mean, I know we said that it's inconsensual sex, but there is sometimes like a vibe, and for me it's like people that don't understand energies and stuff like that, where I've definitely had things when I was younger, like at school and university, where I sort of had it because I felt like I sort of had to, and I didn't really want it, and looking back I'm like, actually I think he probably was in the wrong, and I probably was clear enough, but maybe, and I guess like you said, the answer, I'm sorry thing, like, that you didn't say anything out loud, but I think, like, I don't know that makes it right.
They're kind of giving, it's like when you give someone the benefit of the doubt, but it's not that. It's like you're kind of going, like, oh, yeah, I'm sure it's fine.
Yeah.
Like, no, do make it clear.
Like, yeah. And also, like, it's just that I told the story last week about when I had a threesome with a couple because they made me a curry.
I mean, we need to hang out more, because I'm going to live vicariously through you.
She's married now, trust me.
I did all my living in 5 years. But no, they'd made this curry and I felt so guilty, and they clearly needed it to spice up their marriage. So I went through with it. And then
literally, her eyes were watering.
And I didn't like the curry and I didn't like the sex. But I did it because I was trying to be polite. And I think we really
do. I didn't
want to disappoint them. They made such an effort. And I think we have sort of raised women in a culture of feeling like fuck
polite,
off isn't, like, no is a complete sentence, and that kind of very important cliche.
My no-go is anything on the face. Like, I don't like anything. Like, there was one guy I was dating, oh, this is awful. He finished, then he rubbed his thing, and I said to him, I'd already said like nothing on the face,
I don't know where this story is going.
And he, like, you know the Lion King?
Oh my god!
And he put it on my forehead.
No!
And literally went, and I literally was like, what the fuck? This was like 4 months in.
He just thought it was funny,
and I was literally like, I'd already told you, but because I was like shy, I guess, like, I didn't say anything. I was like, oh, I guess it was meant to be a joke, but that wasn't funny, and I've already told you. Like,
he basically anointed you as well.
Yes. Oh, it was not. I was literally, also, it was just
in
like,
some cultures, you're probably married.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, like, it's a ritual of some sort.
I'm properly phobic of semen. Like, I hate it with like the power of a thousand suns. Like, don't like it inside me, don't like it in my mouth, don't like it near me. Just really, really phobic of it, and slightly allergic to it.
Really?
What happens? If I ingest it, I'm sick.
That's hot.
And also, I know. Boys love it. Why do you think I was married so young? And if I get it on my, like, on my normal skin, I get like a very, very slight irritation underneath.
Really?
So I'm really fun for sex.
I mean, after all those stories, I don't quite understand how that fits in.
I mean,
three servings.
It's like curry.
But none of that. But no one ever finished.
Nothing
on
no one ever finished. Only ever go to a different room for that.
Why are you also quite allergic to chili?
Desperately allergic to chili.
So the curry night.
Oh, what a dreadful night for you. We used a condom. That was fine. But I also don't like thinking about semen because it makes me gag. Like, I'm very, really freaked out.
It is alive, isn't it? That's a real. And it's very difficult not to just sort of pop into your head.
But I will eat an oyster.
Loads of fish swimming around. I remember once I was just like, does it? Do you reckon it? If you just put it on a table, would it move? Because they're all swimming.
Now, was that considered to be a stupid question? Because I really, really would not.
I would not have dismissed that as a question. I didn't ask anyone. I thought I sort of said it to myself and then was like, I won't Google that.
Right, well, if anybody's got any answers, please write it. Envelope.
Yeah.
Lovely Peter.
What about if the sex is bad in a relationship? Like, would you break up with someone because the sex was rubbish?
I feel it's salvageable.
Yeah.
I feel like it's salvageable. Someone once told me that it's kissing, that if someone's a bad kisser, then it's really hard to fix.
I have a really fun fact about that. When you kiss, your bodies are exchanging DNA. So if you really don't like kissing somebody, it's because you're biologically incompatible. Your body's going,
that makes a lot of sense.
I know. So it's reading all the code, being like, she doesn't have hay fever. She's got a good metabolism. Like, yeah. Both two things that I'm not sure about. Whenever I'm really angry with my husband, if I kiss him, like if I get some of his saliva in my mouth, I stop being angry with him because biologically.
You should be a little jar. And now I'm fine again.
Now I love you.
A husband shot.
Oh god, that's vile. But yeah, no. If I get a bit of his biology in me, I like him again.
Yeah, that's quite lovely.
And also, apparently, you should never go out with somebody you don't like the smell of their sweat.
I had a friend who was pretty much, I think she was engaged to him, and just out of nowhere, just they broke it off, and everyone was like, "What? They were so perfect on paper." And her reason was like, there's something, the smell isn't right. Yeah. It didn't smell bad, but it was like, it was just not, and it's such a thing that, and it's quite creepy to say to somebody, like, I think our smells really work together.
Yeah, but it's true.
They do. And also, I get freaked out, like, oh my god, that must mean I have a smell. Like, I can't smell myself. That's gross. But, like, it's a very, I love that stuff about, like, biologically
level. And it's you weeding out what's going on.
Yeah.
But I will lie with my head in my husband's armpit and be like, yummy, which is disgusting. But I really like his smell.
My sister does that with her boyfriend and it just creeps me out.
They're
sure,
really
I'd have a nice
compatible.
Time doing that, but I just can't socially do that. And for some reason, it's sort of stopping me.
I mean, I don't think you're the weird one in this.
No, sure, no.
I think Michelle and I are the odd ones.
Absolutely, no, that's fine.
Michelle, would you break up with someone if the sex was rubbish?
No. Oh, I don't know.
Do you think it's salvageable?
I think it's salvageable. Like, again, I'm quite an opinionated person, so I'm literally just like, no, you're doing it wrong.
Like, so if they don't improve, then they're just stupid.
Well, if they don't try to improve, then they just don't care.
But that's the sign, isn't it?
That's the sign, yeah, you're right.
If I, like, do this and then they don't do it, I'm like, do you even care?
But I think what it is I don't care if a guy doesn't make me calm, I care if he didn't try. And also what I really hate is when I would say, actually, I'm quite difficult to make orgasm, don't worry. And he would be like, no, don't worry, I've got this.
Challenge.
Crack his fingers and be like, I'm getting down there. It's like, no, honestly, I've been living in this for 27 years. I know it's not
And it makes
happen.
It more pressure because it's like, well, now you're saying this is some sort of challenge. And now you're going to fail. And now I'm going
to
just...
And you want to be the Francis Drake of my vagina. I don't want that.
And you want to go to sleep and you have to pretend like you're really interested now because he's trying really hard.
And also, that's not about your pleasure. That's about him...
proving something.
Like, yeah.
It's like, become a thing about him. Yeah, that's very true. Yeah, you're right. So I think, like, if they don't try, then that's another type of rubbish sex, which is just, you're not... The amount of people as well who, like, they're rumoured to have absolutely massive wangs, for example. And when my friends have slept with them, have been like, I mean, it's like you just thought that was enough. Like, no interest in the woman. It's just like, that's in, so let's all go home. Yeah, that's. I think that's such a fascinating, because there's no real interest in the other person and the woman and the person they're sleeping with. And I think that's the gap between good sex and bad sex. It's like, well, do you want to be having sex with this person? Yeah. Or are you just not that interested? Or is, you know what I mean? Like,
I think also I was about to say there's a fallacy, which is fantastic.
Right.
Because, there is a fallacy that women like huge penises, which I think, broadly speaking, is not true.
I talk to everyone I can about this because I find it infuriating because it's not... It hurts.
foot.
Yes, yeah.
Actually.
The average vagina is 4.5 inches deep, so everything else is a waist. You can't get that much more in there.
My friend had a boyfriend with a 9.5. and she basically started pissing herself all the time because their pelvic floor. Could not tell her parents why that was happening. But, like, yeah, completely ruined her pelvic floor. I think still, because she still can't be in a room for more than an hour without being like, oh, I'm alone. Like, it was his penis.
Also, you're really funny. That must be a nightmare for your friendship.
Yeah, it's a real nightmare. Yeah, I think it's such a... It's like, I'd say average. Medium size.
Medium with a decent girth.
That's what you've
got. That's what you want. Yes. You don't want... Because I've seen boy penises. Actually, no, you're not supposed to say that these days. Very long, no girth. That's and they're proud of it.
Like a pencil.
Like a piece of spaghetti. Mm-hmm. And then
That guy on Love Island who literally was like, the whole running joke was that he had a pencil.
Yeah, I actually didn't watch it. I just used to tweet about it when it was on in a topical sort of way.
Hashtag.
In the hope that I'd be asked to write things about it for money, which occasionally I was.
Very clever. I tried to do that with her Bake Off, but Lauren Bravo has the monopoly.
Yeah,
on that,
it's not, I'm not funny enough.
She's too good at that.
It's been cornered.
Yeah. It's gone to Bake Off. We need to get back to sex.
Back on the second.
Just finally, have you ever faked an orgasm? And if so,
my whole life.
And if so, why?
I also didn't think there was anything wrong with it for a really long period of my life. And then I was like, wait, what the hell am I doing? Like, the worst was that I once gave a guy who never made me come the compliment that he was the best sex I ever had. So he stopped trying. Like, he was. I also said to him at one point, oh, don't worry, like, girls enjoy the, like, process and only guys need to finish. Why did I ever say
I'm
that?
I'm sure I said things like that as well.
Yeah, yeah, we never tried. Find the women they sleep with after that, though, and apologise to them.
Yeah.
I've said the same thing, but it's our fault.
I think the one greatest thing a woman can do in sex is to not fake it. Not like, well, I didn't come so you can get off. but just be like, you know, oh, well, that's okay, because it's not going to happen every time.
Yeah,
it's also
I was
hard
close
to go backwards.
My biggest revelation with sex was that I didn't need to come during sex, but I would like to come before penetrative sex or afterwards. I'd like, because the sex bit is not just the penis-y vaginary bit, there's a whole thing.
Yeah.
And I remember having a conversation with my husband in quite early days where he thought I'd come and I was like, nah, babe, didn't happen. And he was mortified, but it would have gone a long time of him not knowing. And then my first boyfriend, I stopped faking orgasms after 6 months because I was like, I've given him 6 months of grace period, I'll stop.
Yeah.
And then about a month later, he was like, I think you might want to go to the gynecologist. And I was why is that?
It's hard, though, isn't it? Because in a way, if you were all the time and then you weren't, there is something
wrong. He thought it was broken.
This is why it's so hard to go backwards. Because
once you fake it, where do you go from there?
I used to fake it at an unrealistic speed as well. It's like literally like 1 minute in and I'm like, woohoo, I'm done. And
I was like, this girl's amazing. Yeah. Or I'm amazing.
It's more likely the second one.
Yeah, definitely. And also I think it's just so hard because guys, it's just across the board easier, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know what to do, it's just you can keep doing that and something will happen. Like in a short space of time.
Yeah.
And with girls it is a bit more complicated.
Oh, it's so much more because what is it, 78, 85, something like that. Very high percentage of women cannot come from just penetrative sex. They need clitoral
stimulation. When I found that statistic, it changed my whole life.
Too.
I thought I was wrong, I was broken. Not like broken, as in like, I'm so broken. Like, but I was defective.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
I just assumed my vagina had a default that other people's didn't have.
Yeah.
I thought the clitoris would be inside my vagina.
Why isn't it?
Why isn't it?
It makes no sense. Why isn't it?
I read a book called Come As You Are, which is all about like sex and body positivity. It is the best book in the world. Like, so much about sex, like, especially with women, is so misunderstood. Like, sex drive, it's not actually a drive, like, at all. It's like an accelerator and a brake pedal and like all these things. And I literally was like, oh my god, this has changed my life. And
is this
one...
why you're like so like, yeah, I want this now.
I'm literally like, this is how sex works.
You just read the passages in the book.
Can I ask, why did you fake it? That's what I want to know. I'm interested in the faking it process.
Yes, I faked it because I immediately was like, well, hang on, this isn't going to do the thing that I've seen everywhere and have been told that it should, and it's going on for too long, and I'm embarrassed. So when I was very young, that was what I did. And then as I got older, even, you know, 25, 26, 27, I was still doing it. I was still faking it. Because I was like, then I was like, oh, I'm broken. I've now realised that I've got a defective.
I think it's worse when you get to your mid-20s and you're like, I should have this shit together. Like, fine when you're 17 to not be doing it, but surely by 26, I'd have my life together. I can orgasm the drop of a hat.
Yeah, especially if you can do it elsewhere.
If you can do it on your
wanking.
Yes. Because actually, what I find is women don't seem to struggle with wanking. We seem to be quite good at that.
Yeah.
It's like definitely possible.
But I think with me, I've only ever faked it out of, like, we've been doing it for about 15, 20 minutes. It's been fun. I'm ready for it to be over.
It's going
to
erode.
It's a polite like way of saying, just stop. Yeah. I've had enough.
It's been fun.
Also, a lot of the time it would be because it was painful. Like, they were just doing it wrong.
Erosion is not entirely unrealistic.
Yeah, no, it's true. Yeah, especially, like, kind of early years, isn't it? And you're just like, oh, hang on, this is just... It just feels like... I just feel like doing this.
I just rubbed
my arms together.
I also think I just had a people-pleasing thing. Like, I didn't want to upset them or, like, make their ego hurt or whatever.
And also, if it's, like, a one-night stand and you're told all this stuff about how one-night stands are so sexy and fun, and you immediately know each other and you can just do... You're like, woo! And you kind of feel like you have to play into that narrative, otherwise... Then they're not going to have a nice time, and if you're not going to, if you know that you're not going to have a nice time, you might as well give them a nice time, which is such a bad way of thinking.
And also feel like that sexy woman who has sex and has a vibrator and her clutch purse and takes taxis everywhere, and then sort of falls into that whole
Samantha from Sex.
Yeah, exactly.
What's so funny about all of it is, like, all of this narrative that's going on in our heads is, like, the least sexy thing, and you're worrying about this and you're having a good time, and, like,
you're never going
to have an orgasm. They are not thinking about this.
Yeah,
no. And also, how funny that, like, now like podcasts like this, we're all talking about it and we're all able to say that, but, like, in 10 years ago we were all probably at some point thinking this and thinking that we were the only ones, and just, like, generations of girls being like, I guess I'm defective.
Mine's on the outside unlike everybody else's.
I remember in first year of uni I said blowjob to one of my friends and she was like, oh my god, you're the first person I've ever heard actually say that word out loud. And I was like,
actually,
I went to an all girls boarding school, so we said blowjob all the time. Suddenly I said it in front of, like, guys and girls, and it was like, whoa.
It was like a huge deal.
I remember I was on the bus on Freshers Week to go to some terrible... it's a bunker or Lizard Lounge or somewhere awful. And I don't know how the conversation came up, but another girl said that she'd brought her Rampant Rabbit to uni, and I was like, other women masturbate. It's not just me.
Well, there was Jemma Ann Summers brought out a perfume that supposedly had like pheromones in it. Like, where do they get those pheromones from? Like, bear pheromones.
Also, it's like general beavers. Pheromones, not like someone specific.
Just, like, any, just, like, put it on and just any mixed people will, like,
a blend of pheromones.
Essentially, we'll try and fuck you. That's what'll happen.
I would say that on the bad sex thing, we should mention Love Honey have very good lubes, and actually I thought that lubes people who suffered from vaginal dryness, but actually, even if you don't, lube is your friend.
I love a lube, we always use lube. I just think it's great.
Yeah, especially also if you're a bit drunk.
Even when you're turned on, I just think it's great and it makes it, like, more.
I was thinking, I had a massage last week and I was like, you wouldn't want to do this with, like, not enough oil, that would be weird and uncomfortable.
Yeah.
So why would you do sex without
too much friction?
Love Honey Lube.
Love Honey Lube.
Guys, you have been the most amazing guests. If people would like to find out more about you, where can they discover you online?
I'm at Stevie M on Instagram and Twitter. The S is a 5, unfortunately. Can I also say that I have a podcast
as
well?
Yes, of course you can.
I have a podcast. Sorry, I have a podcast. It's called Nobody Panic. And have a listen if you like that.
Available everywhere.
Available everywhere.
I listened to that this morning.
No, you didn't.
Yeah, no, I'm trying to start a podcast. So I was listening to, like, random podcasts, just clicking through to the next one. I was listening for lit intros, so...
That's so funny.
You can find me at Scar Not Scared on most things, or Michelle Ellman.
That's it. Thank you so much.
And now, a word from our sponsor.
This week's episode of The Climax is brought to you in association with Love Honey, the UK's most popular online shop for buying adult toys and lingerie. Whether you're looking for a toy for you and your partner, something for solo play, or some sexy new lingerie, you'll find everything you need at Love Honey. From 50 Shades of Grey inspired bondage kits to happy rabbits, Love Honey has it all. For more information and to discover the fun for yourself, visit lovehoney.co.uk. What's more, we've got an exclusive 15% discount for listeners. Visit lovehoney.co.uk/theclimax. Thank you to Love Honey.
So this episode is kindly sponsored by Love Honey, and we've had the pleasure of trying out some of their toys this week.
That was such a pun.
I know. Sorry, it was actually unintentional. But...
I'm ashamed of you.
So we've been trying out this week. We've tried the Happy Rabbits, which are by Love Honey themselves. Bexy, how did you get on with your Happy Rabbit? What did you try?
So I tried quite an impressive piece of kit. It is the Happy Rabbit Triple Curve Rechargeable Rabbit Vibrator. And my God, like, okay... It's quite frightening when you take it out of the box, I'm not going to lie. It's an impressive beast. It's like a piece, it's a piece of machinery. It's got three, I want to say, prongs. One of them is the typical rabbit ears that go inside of your clitoris. One of them is the shaft that goes inside you. And one of them is a sort of little butt plug. So if you were to use it...
It is quite the thing to behold.
It is. It's resplendent. And it's black. And it makes a lot of... I mean, it's very quiet, but my God, there's a lot of motion on that thing. Mm. I mean, honestly, I've never seen anything quite like it. I've been a sex journalist for 5 years. It's not for the faint-hearted. It's not what I would buy my shrinking violet best friend for her hen do for her first ever sex toy. Mm. It is, however, something that I would give to somebody who was new, who had, you know, used everything, maybe been around the block a bit, and who knows what they like, because... Mm. I mean, it is a powerful experience. I will say that.
Yeah,
it's a lot.
So it's a toy for someone perhaps a bit more experienced who wants to mix it up.
I think also the other thing I would say is that it obviously has the anal it has the anal attachment, but you don't have to use that.
So, so you can take it off.
Oh no, you can't take it off, but you can just kind of nestle it against yourself. It doesn't have to be inside you. So it's not. It doesn't have that because. That is quite an intense experience. Also, I found that it's relatively difficult to get the butt plug side of it inside you on your own. Mm. So if you're with a partner, it's easy enough. But if you're on your own, it's quite a complicated arrangement. Mm. But it's a brilliant rabbit. It's one of the better rabbits I've used. Holds a charge really, really well. Charges quickly. Whisper quiet. So it's a good toy. It's just not for the faint-hearted. Like, yeah. I took it out of the box. I made this kind of noise.
Yeah. Was it pleasurable when you were using it?
Yeah, absolutely. But it was very intense. Mm. Like, I think if you're somebody who struggles to orgasm, it would probably be a great thing to try. Mm. Because I think you would be hard-pressed not to orgasm from it. Mm. And it has a lot of settings as well. They've really put thought into how the different vibration patterns work and stuff like that. Like, they've really worked on it. You can tell that they've looked at all the ways that different rabbits work and they've tried to pull together all the best aspects of it.
Mm. Amazing. And if you want to buy that, you can purchase it from lovehoney.co.uk and it's £79.99.
And if you use our special link, which is lovehoney.co.uk/theclimax, then you'll get 15% off, which is a pretty hefty sum.
Go wild.
How about you? What did
you try? I tried a Happy Rabbit. I tried the Happy Rabbit G-Spot Curve, which is rechargeable rabbit vibrator. I'm a lot less... overwhelming, one might say, than your one. This is just quite a simple rabbit. It has one prong which goes on your... We say prong, it's not quite right, but, you know, one silicone arm that goes on your clit and one that goes in you, and it is designed in a curved shape to massage your G-spot. Really liked it. I think it's one of those sex toys that, like, kind of every girl should own. I think it's great to have something that's focused on G-spot, and unlike other kind of G-spot products that I've tried, I really felt like this delivered. It did... do exactly what it said it was meant to.
Do you think this would be the right toy for somebody who was quite new to sex toys?
Yeah, definitely. I think it's not too intimidating. It's also, you know, some rabbits that you see are like so big and girthy, they're kind of overwhelming, but I didn't feel like I was overwhelmed by it. And I'm not someone that's like super experimental with sex toys. So for me, it felt perfect.
It's kind of like the little black dress of sex toys.
Yeah, definitely. I think having something that's combined clitoral and like penetrative can feel really nice. And it's also a good thing if you're finding like sex isn't super comfortable with your partner, or you're like a bit intimidated, that it can be a good product to use on your own. And I think it could probably help make your sex life a bit more comfortable as well. I would say if you're a bit nervous, maybe trying lube with it would be a good idea.
Do you think that it's, is it like house share proof? Is it quiet? Like, could you use it something else in the next room?
It was quiet, and it has a lot of different settings. I think it's got 12 settings or 12 or 17 settings, so you can have quite a lot of different experiences with it. Mm-hmm. It's quite easy with rabbits to get like a little bit bored of the same old, but I think with loads of different vibrator settings, that's great.
And it's rechargeable as well, isn't it?
Yeah, it's rechargeable, so it's not a battery situation.
Yeah.
Which is great. No, I really recommend it, and it's £59.99. I always feel like with sex toys, you want ones that are like, it's like nobody wants to see like a cheap doctor. Yeah. You don't really want a cheap sex toy, and this is the kind of price point where it's accessible, but it's expensive enough that you're like, this is really going to work, and it's going to feel great.
And also with our 15% off, it's even more accessible.
Exactly. So lovehoney.co.uk/theclimax. Thank you to Love Honey.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
So I know we just said goodbye to you, but you guys are back again.
Yay!
Stephen and Michelle, thank you for joining us again.
We need your wisdom.
So we have a slot in the show where we get listeners to send in their questions. And, you know, it's like an agony arm. We try and solve their problems.
It's actually started completely on plan. Somebody sent us a question without being invited to. And then we answered it. And now it's our favourite thing to do.
And then we're like, well, there's something in this. So that's how that happened. So we've got two questions this week. The first one is, dear Climax, my sex drive has taken a massive dip recently. I don't feel like having sex. My boyfriend has started off being understanding, but is starting to seem pissed off about it. What should I do? Have you ever experienced anything like this?
Tricky.
I go through peaks and troughs, actually. I find if I'm stressed or I've got a lot on my mind work-wise, that sometimes my sex drive does dip a bit.
Yeah, I think don't beat yourself up about it. That's the first thing.
It's not sexy, is it?
No, and also it'll just, like you say, it's like literally part of life. Oh, I'm trying to cross my legs, but I didn't in a bad way. And it didn't work. I think it compounds it if you're angry at yourself. Mm. And it probably doesn't help that her boyfriend's angry as well. Do you know what I mean? Like, so it's that thing about like chatting and just being like, right, this is happening, looking at the other reasons why it's happening, because it's very rarely just like, oh, it's just the sex. Yeah. It'll be like you say, stress, or something's in your brain that you can't kind of...
I think maybe also depends how long it is. I think if it's been 6 weeks, he needs to get over it and take a step back.
It's been 2 years.
If it's been a couple of... But if it's been 6 months, I can see how... If you used to be quite a sexual couple and you haven't had sex for 6 months, that would start to feel...
Yeah, then you need to chat and try and figure out a way to solve it together.
I know this is a really... I don't necessarily always get a good reaction for saying this, but sometimes I find that having sex is a bit like going to the gym. Like, I don't necessarily want to go, but when I get there, I have a great time and I feel really good afterwards. Mm. So sometimes I have to kind of not force myself to have sex, but to kind of... give it a go
and
do 5 minutes of foreplay, and if I'm still not feeling it, then stop. And that's not to say that you should ever force yourself to do something you're uncomfortable with, but it's okay to dip a toe in the water and see.
Mm. Yeah, definitely.
But I also think you have to communicate it, because as much as he says he's angry, he might just be insecure about it. Like, he might think it's about him and that it's about
his
appearance
or something.
Which
you would. You'd be like,
like, have I done anything? So just have a conversation about it, because it shouldn't be anger, and if it is, I'd have a bit of a problem with that.
Yeah. It's a really good point, actually, because he might be, like, whenever I've had a situation where a guy I'm with has struggled to get it up or has, like, lost his heart on partway through sex, I've automatically thought, like, it's my fault, I'm disgusting,
did I drool
me,
or something?
Like, a weird noise, like, all possible. And I need that reassurance of, like, no, it's fine, it's just I've had 19 pints. Mm.
I think that constantly trying to reassess the fact that you both fancy each other is probably very important. Because also, I think, you know, like, with the whole thing, like, guys don't show their emotions, or they don't... Mm. Girls often don't believe that they need to give that sort of attention to guys.
Yeah.
So you probably do if you're at a stage where you don't know how he feels about it, and you just need to talk and talk and talk. And
also, like, as you said, if you have a low sex drive, doesn't mean you can't give anything.
Yes, that's true.
So it could just be a one-way interaction for about a couple of weeks.
For a little while. And also, I think the other thing is that intimacy doesn't have to be sex. It can be being naked together, or just hanging out and cuddling and being close.
Leads to sex often, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But also, if you're feeling your partner's angry at you the whole time, that's not exactly
going to make
you want to be intimate sexually or not.
Mm. But I find when my husband and I are fighting and we tend to sleep, I tend to put a pillow in the middle of the bed because I'm a passive aggressive bitch. And that will end up making it worse, because I'll go go to sleep being like, oh, I didn't even get a cuddle, you bastard, even though I put the pillow there. And then the next morning I'm like, someone didn't care enough to try and come over the pillow. And it becomes like a whole thing. And the more we don't touch each other, the worse it gets. And actually, if you sit and have, like, I think if you can try and row while physically quite close to each other, that can be really helpful. Yeah. To kind of reassert that sort of touch and closeness.
Yeah. I try never to go to bed on a fight. But
I think it's honestly the worst advice in the world. I think you should always go to bed on a fight.
Really?
Because when it's 4 o'clock in the morning and you're still rowing and you're tired, go to bed, get some sleep, wake up fresh.
Like 4 o'clock in the morning, yes, but I always try, like, gotta try.
Oh, I can go
try and sort it.
But no, I need to be given a time and a date that we're going to discuss it then. I'm like, at 9 o'clock tomorrow morning,
yeah, absolutely,
talk about it.
But go to sleep, because what will happen is I will come home very drunk, start a fight because that's what I'm like, and then I'll be like, we are not going to bed along here, we're going to sit here until we fix this.
Yes, I mean, context is all, that's not great. Yeah, no, sure. I meant, like, you know, if you can avoid letting things, because I think when you let things fester, you don't say things, that's when it becomes a massive
problem. I also know one couple exactly like that, but it's when they're both drunk and everyone is like, just go to bed,
both
it
of you
will be fine in the morning. And also, it's always fine in the morning, it's just it lasts till like 2 o'clock.
My husband falls asleep, so we're in the middle of a round. You don't care. I told you didn't love me, look how you've proved it.
Okay, so question number two. Dear Climax, my boyfriend watches really hardcore porn, like seriously dark stuff. Lots of pain and women hurting each other. He doesn't seem to want to do it with me, but I'm worried about it. Should I relax or is it a big deal?
I think your fantasies are... I mean, I think what you're watching is different to what you're doing, first of all. And I think your fantasies are literally things that you are forbidden to do in real life.
Yeah.
So I don't personally see anything. It's more whether it's like they're actually acting on it.
But also, if she's not chatted to him about it, then it'll be in her head.
Yeah.
So it's good to be like, hey, can't help noticing.
You like one more woman kicking each other in the vagina.
Let's chat. Or just to kind of be like, it's cool, like, but not in a kind of judgy way at all.
Yeah.
To be like, like you say, like, it's a fantasy, it's absolutely fine. Just want to check that, do you want to do that in life? Is that something that you would ideally want to try out? And then if he's like, yes, I would like to hurt you, then it's like, right, well, that's...
I definitely think it
would freak me out, even if he was like, I never want to do it to you, it just turns me on. I still would question, like, why is that turning you on? Why is, like, you know what I mean?
Pain is a different thing than being like, oh, he seems to watch a lot of anal porn. Like, that's different to being like, oh, they're in pain, or like...
It's a nasty fetish, I think.
I wouldn't be bothered by it, but also I watch a lot of porn that has nothing, not a lot of porn, I watch some porn that has nothing to do with what I want to do. I predominantly watch lesbian porn because I don't like men in porn, because usually they're hideous.
Yeah, they're terrifying as well.
Very high standard of woman in porn, very low standard of man, always bald. And I'm a little frightened by that.
It's a bit Sex in the City. It's
just so much baldness.
I'm having a really frank conversation with my friend at university for the first time ever, either of us had ever admitted that porn was even a thing that we even knew about. And she just said really quietly, like, I said something like about porn, I made like a joke about porn, she's like, I watch porn. I was like, oh my god. And then I was like, do you think that the men in porn, their penises are really frightening? And then we never spoke about it again. It's like, I find them terrifying.
I still think they're very frightening.
I had the weirdest conversation with my friends about porn the other day, because a couple of years ago, I watched, maybe like 2-3 years ago, I watched a TED talk about how porn's really bad. And it kind of got stuck in my head, and every time I watched porn, it kind of ruined it for me. So I started reading porn, and it just became so normal to me that, like, we were just having a conversation about porn, and I was like, oh yeah, I read something interesting the other day, and they were like, wait, read? And like, whole room just stopped and was like, you read porn? Everyone thought it was this hilarious joke. I was like, no, I read porn.
But I find it turns me on so much more, because I can't get out of my own head watching it. I can't, like, stop that inner monologue analysis when I'm like, well, that would never happen like that, and that's like, that's really unrealistic, and that doesn't look like that, and why is she shaved? Like, that just turns me off. Whereas reading it, it's like your own imagination.
Yeah,
and it's kind of the same with the lesbian porn. Where when I did watch porn, I used to watch lesbian porn because I like to visualize what's happening to me rather than watching someone. Do you get what I mean?
Absolutely. Yeah. I think there was that study that was pretty much overwhelmingly straight women watch lesbian porn, or you know.
Yeah.
I would like to give a plug for Frolic Me, which is a like membership website, and it's ethical porn. It's and the founder of it, Anna, has like produced and edited and shot 200 of her own porn films, and it's basically like porn for women.
I would, yeah, okay. I would say that if you want to watch porn in an ethical way, you need to pay for it because if
Frolic Me is great and it's actually like arousing
as well. It's fantastic. But if you buy it from a feminist independent porn maker, you're considerably less likely to be contributing to exploitation. Whereas if you just watch it on New Porn, the actors don't make any money, and you have no way of knowing that it was like ethically made.
Yeah. So finally, what's our advice to this lady? Does she need to talk to him about it?
I reckon you just would have to talk. I would have to talk to him because it's very unlikely that he's going to be like, yes, I love the pain. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, it'll be like a bondage thing that rather than a I like people.
I think what I would do, because I'm a manipulative shrew, is I would give him the impression that I was willing to do whatever he wanted as long as he was honest, so that I could get him to give me the full extent of what it was he really wanted to do, so that I could feel secure in it, because otherwise I would always feel like he had downplayed it to keep me.
That's very clever.
I would do that
to Tula Court.
Simply because I think what would make me more uncomfortable is if I knew he had that desire to do that to me, and I was never going to be on board with that, for example. So I would just be like, this relationship's just not going to work if that's like something you want to do, and sexually that's what you're interested in,
and I'm not playing
ball at all.
But I think if it were, I really want to tie your hands up to the bedpost, lots of people could get on board with that. If it was, I want to put chilies in your vagina, lots of people probably wouldn't want to do that. So I guess it's where is it, what is it that you like, which is what you said.
But that's clever about not, because you would sugarcoat it if you think that someone's going to be like, oh, I'm not doing that.
That's disgusting.
No.
Well, thank you so much for giving your advice, guys. I hope to our two listeners that was useful to you.
You are super wise. Thank you, guys.
You're so nice.
You're very welcome.
Thank you so much for tuning into this week's episode. Bex has run off and left me because she has to do an interview with BBC Radio Kent. Very rude. But if you enjoyed this episode and would like to find out more, please subscribe. There's a new episode out every Monday. And don't forget to rate and review so others can find it. Until next week, guys.
This has been a Candy Store production, hosted by Angelica Malin and Rebecca Reed, produced by Van Connor. Sex with OS by Mobile Steam Unit appears under Creative Commons 3.0. Visit Candy Store Productions at candystoreproductions.co.uk.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.